Today, we'll talk about things that often confuse people about Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 121 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 121. I am so happy to have you here, and I want to thank you for your, first of all, reaction and support from the last podcast, because that was a really big one to be able to do, to talk about the new big project that we've been working on. But I also want to thank you for your patience, because I know that I have not settled back into the weekly schedule yet. It's just been incredibly busy, and it's hard to keep the site going while also trying to create the separate thing and also do the podcast. So it just hasn't happened yet, but hopefully soon we'll not only be able to launch that project, but get back into a weekly routine here. One thing I didn't mention when I talked about the project launching is that it's actually going to have an impact on the whole site, even the open free content that the blog posts and stuff. And the reason is that because we have basically built a huge database full of information about Disney World, we can now have the blog posts pull from there as opposed to just being text, you know, randomly placed throughout the site. So for instance, there is currently a post about all of the restaurants at Magic Kingdom. There's a separate post of all the character meals at Disney World. So there's overlap on those. You know, Cinderella's Royal Table and Crystal Palace, they are on both lists. And if something changes at those restaurants, we have to go in and search for every instance of it and update it to reflect the change, which is kind of redundant and not perfect. We don't always catch it, even though we try. So what's going to happen with this new system is that we have a database where all the information can be pulled from. So instead of having just text, you know, listed out in a blog post, it's going to pull from the database. So for instance, if one of the restaurants changes its menu, or the average price of the entree changes, or the name, or the restaurant goes away altogether, we can update it once in the database. And not only does it update it in the membership site, but anywhere we've mentioned it in a blog post will update. So that's fantastic. It's less work for us. It's more accurate for you. Perfect. I'm probably just as excited about that as I am launching the membership site. So it's very exciting. It also gives us lots of opportunities to easily pull together information. So if somebody said, hey, I wish I could see all of the restaurants that have entree prices under $30 per adult or something like that, we can easily pull that list because it's just basically a query of the database. So I'm excited about the accuracy and speed at which we will be able to do things. And that is going to be exciting for just the free content. So I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to talk today about several miscellaneous things, as well as about things that confuse people, because I regularly get asked questions, even by people that are really good at planning trips. There's a few things that are often confusing. So I want to talk about that in a little bit. I have a lot of miscellaneous things, plus news and a quick tip of the day. One of the miscellaneous things that I want to talk about is that my daughter's birthday is tomorrow and she turns 21. So when you hear me say, when I have little kids, you understand I have a fully grown adult daughter who is starting her senior year in college. So the reason I want to mention is for her birthday, it's always a reminder for me to drive home this point that it's a lesson that I had to learn. Everything I'm sort of passionate about has a reason for it. So for instance, one of the reasons that I love flexibility in trips is that I know what it's like to be the child on the other end of that lack of flexibility. And so I'd never want you or me to do that to our own kids. And so I really try to hammer home the idea of planning, but staying flexible, not being rigid. So everything I'm really passionate about, I have a reason for it. And with my daughter, one of the things I'm passionate about is really taking advantage of the stage of life that they are in, if you can. And so I just want to, I did this last year on her birthday on the podcast, but I want to read a Facebook post that I wrote about her a couple of years ago. because I think it perfectly illustrates how I feel about this. So here is what the Facebook post that I wrote a couple years ago says. It says, "Can I get personal for a minute? About 20 years ago, I was a science math tech nerd in the honors program majoring in computer engineering when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. Not only was it a challenge to be a single mom at that young age, having just broken up with my boyfriend when I found out, but my daughter is completely different than me, and it took some getting used to. Before I knew it, I was immersed in everything pretty and pink and princessy. I went on to graduate college, started dating my husband, and we got married. He adopted her when she was 3, but we were young and didn't have a lot of money to spend. We work hard to pay off debt and save for our first house, and by the time we could afford to go to Disney World, our daughter was a Disney adult at age 10. Since then, we've done plenty of princess things like eating breakfast with the princesses, and we even did Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. They used to allow adults, go ahead and laugh at the picture. It's ridiculous, but we were making up for lost time. But those early years when she was little and at her peak of princess obsession were gone. So when people ask me, should I do a princess meal? Should we try more than one? My answer is always yes. Do as much as you can afford to do because they grow up fast. They'll love it. You'll make good memories. And when they're grown, like say 21 years old and a senior in college, you'll be glad you did, even if you find yourself feeling silly for being dressed in a Belle costume to do it with them." So that is what I wrote on Facebook. And it is my message to you today. If your children are in a stage, please take advantage of it. Do as much as you can afford to. I don't have any regrets about things that we've done with our daughter, because the fact is that we couldn't get there until she was 10. But had we been able to get there earlier, it would have been a lot of fun to be able to do that princess stuff with her when she was really, you know, the most obsessed with it. And then as kids get older, you know, their interests change and you have to change with them. But anyway, that's my message today, and happy 21st to her. I also want to mention that although we have been very busy with the membership site, Heather and I have been working to update posts for 2016. This is sort of a January thing that I've always done because it's a good time to think about, you know, information that's now outdated. And so if you want to check that out, that might be helpful to you. That includes touring plans for all the parks, including FastPass Plus recommendations, which have changed a little bit. And it also includes updating Disney Dining Plan information, because 2015 Disney Dining Plan is different than 2016. And so that's been updated for that. We will continue to work on making updates, but I just wanted to let you know if you haven't checked those out recently, and I will link to them in the show notes to make it easier for you to click through. So I want to talk now about things that often confuse people. This is a super random list that I've just made, making notes as I've been noticing confusion. I've just made a note that this is something I want to talk about. The first thing on my list is confusing busy times to visit Disney World with recommended parks per day. So probably one of my biggest frustrations is when I create giant like infographic charts of when I think Disney World will be busy throughout the year. And people will take that graphic from my site and spread it all over other websites and social media. And it's frustrating because when you take it away from my site, you also lose the explanations of what it means. And it also, people often like to debate in random Facebook groups how I could possibly suggest that September is a good time to go, even though the Food and Wine Festival is going on. But it's apples and oranges here. So let me explain. Busy times are when the amount of people at Disney World are high. So, or low, if it's low busy time, that it's just an overall number. Recommended parks per day are basically saying, okay, of the people that are there, where are they probably going to be? And that way you can choose a park where the fewest number of people are. So let's say very hypothetically that a low time would be 100,000 people. Then of those 100,000 each day, where are they likely to be in the parks? And so then I make recommendations of those, you know, of that group. That these are very sort of different ideas. If you are trying to figure out when to go, you might want to look at the overall number that's going to visit. And then of those people, where are they going to be throughout your trip? I hope that explains it. It's very confusing for people. And it's something I often see, especially in Facebook groups and stuff like that. Number two is understanding the FastPass Plus tiers. So if you're not familiar, you can get 3 FastPass Plus reservations ahead of time in a park, and 2 of the parks, Hollywood Studios and Epcot, have tiers. So you have to choose one in tier one, and then your other two have to come from tier two. And a lot of people mistakenly think Tower of Terror is tier one because it's a popular ride and it's awesome. And that is true for a lot of tier one rides. They're usually the most popular, but it happens to be that Tower of Terror is actually a tier two. So it's possible to, for instance, get Toy Story Mania or Rock and Roller Coaster, which are tier one, and then also get Tower of Terror. Another tier confusion is that is at Epcot. And right now, Mission Space is a tier one option. And that's because Soarin' is closed for so long. So they move Mission Space up to a tier one. I don't recommend it. I know I don't even recommend it as a tier two option because you don't need it. But it is a confusion right now, especially because it's kind of a temporary move. And so that's not a normal thing, but it is a temporary thing that is happening for the beginning of 2016. After the new Frozen Ever After ride and meet and greet open up, you know, at least one of those should be in the tier one category, and Mission Space will move back to tier two. Number three on list of things that confuse people is differentiating or mistakenly thinking that a FastPass Plus return time is equal to a ride's duration. So for instance, if you have a FastPass Plus that says 1:30 to 2:30, a lot of people, especially first timers that don't know how long, you know, to expect attractions to take, they think, oh, well, that ride's going to last an hour, or they think that must mean I can do one ride per hour. But the truth is that you can show up anytime in that hour and it won't take that long. Nothing takes that long. Ellen's Energy Adventure almost takes that long, but not quite. So it's just anytime in that hour. And in fact, you can show up usually 5 minutes early and up to 15 minutes late for your FastPass. So there's a little bit of a buffer there. But return time does not equal duration. Also, one thing to remember is that shows have a shorter duration because they have to get you loaded in before. So if it's a 10 o'clock show, then your FastPass might say 9:30 to 9:50. You have to show up then. They load all the FastPass Plus people in, then let everybody else in before the show starts at 10 o'clock. Fourth on my list of things that confuse people is airline check-in desk versus Magical Express. Now, Magical Express is the free shuttle that Disney provides between the airport and their hotels so that it's free so that you can just, they want to keep you in your bubble. They don't want you to rent a car. They don't want you to be tempted to go off site. So they just provide this bus between Disney hotels and the airport. And anybody can do that if you're staying on site. But airline check-in is a separate concept, and it's often confused. A lot of people think you can't use it unless you're taking Magical Express. And it's the desk at your Disney resort that allows you to get your boarding passes for your flight and to check your bags. So you don't even have to take them on the bus or in a car or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're taking Magical Express or not. You can use this as long as you're flying Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, Delta, JetBlue, Southwest, or United. I actually made this mistake myself with my mom a few years ago, and I forgot that even though we had had a car bring us, that we could drop our bags off, which would have saved us a lot of time, because getting in line at the Orlando airport can sometimes be difficult during busy times because, you know, it takes a long time to check your bags. Then you have the long security line. So if you can do it at your resort, that's even better. And that's usually part of my routine is on my checkout day, get up early, get all my bags packed, go to the airline check-in desk and check them, go to the parks for a while until it's time to head to the airport. I have a whole post on Magical Express that I will link to. It also includes information about airline check-in, and you can read more about that. And the last thing on my list of things that confuse people is free dining availability. So I just told you that we've been working on updating posts, including the dining plan and how to get free dining. And it has a ton of information about how these things work, including when free dining is usually available. But it still doesn't stop people from replying and saying, so I'm going in July. Should I expect free dining? So here's the thing. Free dining is almost always a fall promotion. And even within fall, the dates have started to get a lot more limited than they used to be. So I wouldn't count on free dining at all, for the most part, unless you're going in fall. And even if you are going in fall, you might have to be flexible on your dates and resorts because they started to really narrow it down. Fall used to be an unbusy time. So Disney would do special things like when my son was five, they had, I can't remember what they called it, but it was a, they did promotions aimed at toddlers because toddlers aren't in school. So they would run promotions to get you to bring your toddler during an unbusy time. And they would do special things like have extra magic hour just in Fantasyland, just for, you know, like the younger kid attractions at Magic Kingdom. They would have Disney Junior acts come in that you could see them live. They did all kinds of things to get people to come in the fall, but free dining has been their most popular. However, fall is not unbusy like it used to be. School districts have started using, implementing fall breaks. And so it's even busier or kind of like spring break now. And so a lot of people are taking advantage of that time off and heading there. You know, sometimes there's, you know, some periods of fall are still less busy, like late September is really still a great time to go. But October and November in particular have gotten much busier than they used to. So they don't have to offer free dining. However, it would be kind of a PR nightmare for them to completely cut it off because so many people have learned to love it and sort of depend on it because it can save you a lot of money. So anyway, this is my sort of final item on my list is that people have a lot of confusion about when free dining is available and what to expect for free dining, even after reading a whole bunch of stuff on the site about it. So I'll link to that in the show notes and hopefully you can get some value out of that, but just don't expect it unless you're going in fall and you're flexible with your dates. So that wraps up those things. I did want to mention a couple of news items that have come up recently. First of all, I have recently written a lot about Uber because I use it on every trip. I use it at home. I use it at Disney World. I use it at Disneyland. I use it everywhere. And I know it's not available everywhere. So I decided to write about it so that people understand how it works. But one of the biggest problems that comes up with Uber is that they don't have car seats. And so some people were resorting to bringing inflatable ones that are easy to, you know, throw in your backpack and inflate as needed. But it was just announced that Uber Family, which is basically Uber with a car seat, is coming to Orlando. So that's going to be very exciting for people because now there is a car seat option for your trips. However, it does cost $10 extra. And what you do is you open the Uber app, you choose UberX, which is the lowest level of Uber, and then you tap the car seat option after you select UberX, and then a $10 surcharge is added to your price when you have the car seat option. Uber Family generally provides one forward-facing car seat for a child who has to be at least 12 months old, at least 22 pounds, and at least 31 inches in length at the point that they become 48 pounds or 52 inches in height, they are not eligible to use the car seat. And I don't know when this is coming to Orlando. I just know that it is coming. So it's something to look forward to. Second news item is that on February 21st, there will be a Wonderful World of Disney special on ABC. It's at 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, and it's focused on Disneyland's 60th, and they already recorded it. I know Elton John's going to be there. I know Josh Gad's going to be there. It's focused on Disneyland, but it was just recently announced that Harrison Ford is actually going to appear and make announcements about the Star Wars lands that are coming to both Disneyland and Disney World. So I'm really looking forward. I would have watched the show gladly anyway. I'm obsessed with Disneyland. Can't wait to see it. But the fact that there's also going to be announcements about Star Wars Land is going to make it even better. So schedule that on your DVRs, February 21st, Star Wars Land announcements on the Wonderful World of Disney. Next is that a lengthy closure has recently been announced, and that's for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's closed April 4th through July 15th. And although it is not official, it appears that what they're going to be doing to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is adding a new ending to it that involves some explosions. Disneyland already has this, and so now they're going to implement it at Disney World. So Big Thunder Mountain will be closed for a few months this spring or summer. And then lastly, this is a rumor, not confirmed, but I think it's very credible, and that is that Joy and Sadness are going to start meeting at Character Spot in February at Epcot. So I am a huge fan of Inside Out. I saw it twice, which is rare for me, and Joy and Sadness are our two favorite characters, and so very exciting. I don't have dates because it's still a rumor, but I expect that we'll hear something definite pretty soon from Disney. Okay, that wraps up the news, and I have a quick tip of the day, and that quick tip is regarding refillable mugs. If you are staying at a Disney World resort, you can get refillable mugs, which can be refilled at any resort throughout your stay. It can't be refilled in the parks, but it can be refilled in a resort. Most people end up getting refillable mugs because of the dining plan. If you're on the dining plan, everybody in your group who's three or over gets a mug to use throughout your stay. And they come in four different colors. If you have more than four people, you know, it can be tricky to figure out which one belongs to, you know, which person, unless you want to write on the mug. But my quick tip is that you can make use of the lids to differentiate them. So you could literally just switch them. So the red cup lid could be switched to the blue cup's lid to, you know, whatever. You can mix and match to have different combinations to tell them apart. Or you can actually pop out the center of the lid and switch it to another lid to make it easier to identify. And I actually have a picture of this because I did this recently. I have a picture that I will include in the show notes of what that looks like. But it's just it's an alternative to writing on the mugs or labeling them in some way. It's just to make a new color combos to make them easier to identify. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can look in the show notes of your podcast app, or you can go to the podcast tab on the website and find episode 121. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.